I was at a little shopping center a while back, and they have one of those little coin fountains, and I had two of my granddaughters there, Stella and Lucy, and so they like to throw the coins in the fountain, but I'm such a cheapskate, and maybe I shouldn't admit this, I reach in and grab other people's coins that have been thrown. Is that wrong? No, it isn't. They're throwing their money away. And besides, I'm probably voiding all of their wishes out, right? Just the moment I did. So I get the coins, I reach in, grab them, give them to the girls. They say, throw the coins in. Now the smaller coins, you'll make a little wish. But if there's a quarter, and yes, people throw quarters in fountains. I have no idea why. That's a big wish. So we're, you know, having fun. And then I asked them a question. Do you girls know the difference between a wish and a prayer? And it was little Lucy that said, well, Papa, that's what she calls me. She said, a wish we just make to ourselves, but a prayer we make to God. That's right. That's the big difference. And you know, when you really get down to it, everybody in some way, shape, or form does seem to pray. And you look back historically, and even the most remote tribes were found to present offerings and pray to their God and prayed for a lot of the things we still pray for today. The ancient Incas and Aztecs even sacrificed humans to get the God's attention. Muslims will stop 5 times a day and pray. Buddhists have their prayer wheels. Millions in AA groups will pray daily to a higher power, asking for help to overcome addiction. It seems like we can't help but pray. According to the latest Gallup poll, more Americans will pray this week than will exercise, drive a car, or go to work. 9 out of 10 of us pray regularly, and 3 out of 4 of us pray every day. As I'm saying this, billions of prayers are going up to heaven. But here's the question. Are those prayers being heard? And is there something or some things we can do to cause our prayers to not only be heard, but answered in the affirmative? Have you ever called someone in your cell phone and you're having a conversation and then you realize that you lost them like 2 or 3 minutes ago? And you wondered why they were so quiet. Maybe you had offended them or something, but in reality, you lost your connection. Remember that ad campaign that Verizon did a while ago called Can You Hear Me Now? Boasting of their great coverage. I'll tell you, I have Verizon and I get their bill and boy, I hear them when they send that bill. And by the way, the guy that did that commercial for Verizon has now gone over to Sprint, you see? But that's a question we might ask about our prayers. God, can you hear me now? Are these prayers being heard of, or have I lost my connection? Well, your prayers can be answered. There's no prayer that, or rather no question, that prayer is such an amazing privilege that God has given to each of us. If you've ever been in what seems to be an impossible situation with no way out, you've probably discovered that God can intervene and change things through prayer. Because prayer can change situations, it can change people, prayer can even change the course of nature. It's been said if you're swept off your feet, it's time to get on your knees. But most of all, the thing that prayer changes is you. Because God will allow hardship, challenge, and need to come our way, sometimes even tragedy, so he can reveal himself, so he can put his power and his glory on display for those who are watching. Really, when we pray, we're acknowledging our weakness. And maybe that's why some people don't like to pray, especially men. I'm not weak. I don't want to pray. Why do men act this way? Well, because they're idiots. Because any guy with half a brain will know that he needs the help of God. Let's talk about the man's man for a moment. Who was the strongest man who ever lived on the face of the earth? No, not Superman. It was Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus prayed. He prayed often. He prayed in the morning. He prayed late at night. He prayed all the time. And if Jesus prayed, certainly we should do the same.
From the cradle to the cross, and from the cross to the ascension, the life and ministry of Jesus is woven throughout the Gospels, telling the greatest stories ever told.
A number of years ago, I wrote a book called The Greatest Stories Ever Told. Maybe you've seen it. You might even have a copy. The Greatest Stories Ever Told is a collection of what I think are the most outstanding stories of the Old Testament. And guess what? Now there's a volume 2. This is a collection of New Testament stories focusing on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ.
The Greatest Stories Ever Told is our gift to you when you support Harvest Ministries. To get your copy, call 800-821-3300 or go to greglaurie.tv. Welcome back. Here again is Greg Laurie.
Here's the problem with the Lord's Prayer. And the problem isn't really with the prayer, it's with us. It may be the single set of words spoken more often than any other words in the history of the world, but the difficulty is they're so familiar we no longer hear them. You hear what I'm saying? Let me say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. I mean, those are beautiful words, but you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me come and listen to a story about a man named Jed, poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. The Flintstones are the Flintstones, modern Stone Age family. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Yes, I know it's true. I mean, just words, right? Jingles, songs. And so we just say these words, and we've said them so many times, we don't hear them anymore. So we need to slow down and break it down, because every word that Jesus used was intentional. Every phrase was meaningful. The very order of the prayer is significant. So we want to look at it very carefully, and we can learn from reading this how to pray. So look at Matthew 6. We're going to read verses 9 to 14. If you don't have a Bible, it's here in the big screen for you too. So you can look at the screen or you can look at your Bible. Why don't we go ahead and just say it out loud together. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this powerful prayer can be divided into two sections. The first three petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, deal with the glory of God, reminding us what the real purpose of prayer is. What is the purpose of prayer? The real focus of prayer should not be on us, but on God, not on what we want, but on what God wants. Really, when prayer reaches its ultimate, we get our wills aligned with His will, and we pray accordingly. Having said that, it is not wrong to pray for the things you need in life. But what I'm saying is, you need to understand that God's plan for you is better than your plan for yourself. How many of you believe that? His plan's better than yours, yeah. It is. Psalm 84 says, no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. If it's good, God will give it to you. If it's not good, God will not give it to you. You know, there are times we pray for things fervently and believe they're God's will, and He says no, and we're upset. But later in life, we look back and we say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I prayed for. The first part of the Lord's Prayer deals with God's glory, and the second part deals with man's need. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Or forgive us our sins. And lead us not into temptation. Our needs. So the Lord's Prayer, it deals with our past, our present, and our future. First, we're supposed to ask the Father to forgive us of our past. Forgive us for our sins. Then it deals with our present. Give us this day our daily bread. Then it deals with our future. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So let's come to point number one about how to pray the way Jesus wants us to pray. Here it is. We're taught by Jesus we're to pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. What is this Father like? Well, if you want to know what your Father is like, just look at Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So what is our Father like? Look at Jesus welcoming the little children. That's what your Father is like. children are drawn to him. Look at Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's what your father is like. Look at Jesus weeping at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. That's what your father is like, touched by your sadness and your hurt. But maybe the most vivid illustration is the story Christ himself told about the father and what we call the story of the prodigal son. Now, the emphasis of that story is usually on the boy, but I think you could just as easily call it the parable of the loving father, because it's a story of a father who had two sons, as you know. One son goes astray, wrecks his life, wastes his inheritance, comes to his senses, returns home. While he's still a great ways off, his father sees him, runs to him, throws his arms around him, and kisses him, and restores him to full sonship. So what is God the Father like? What is our Father in heaven like? He's like a father who misses his son or daughter. He's like a father who longs for communication with us. He's like a father that will welcome you with open arms if you will come to him. That's the picture Jesus gave.
Life, it's compared to a race. The challenges, trials, oppositions, and seemingly insurmountable obstacles. They will come. Adversities, great and small, will test us, test our mettle, our faith. But we are overcomers through Jesus Christ, who endured it all for us. And there is a prize, a crown, a great reward. Press on. Fight, endure till the end, and above all, keep the faith. Welcome back. Here again is Greg Laurie.
We have a father who will always be there. We have a father who listens. We have a father who loves. We have a father in heaven. We're taught by Jesus to pray with other believers. Circle or underline the word are. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven. That's not to say you can't pray to him personally or individually, but it is interesting he used the word are. Jesus is teaching us this is a family prayer that we offer together with other believers. When you become a Christian, you become part of God's family. It's called the church, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we're all in this together. I'm reminded of the words of J. Vernon McGee. You ever listen to him on the radio? Get aboard the Bible bus. And one of the things that McGee said, I won't do it in his voice, but here's a statement. He says, the only exercise some Christians get is running down others and jumping to conclusions. That's true. Paul issued this warning to the Galatians in Galatians 5, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be consumed by one another. We should not be biting, devouring one another. We should be loving and forgiving one another. Now look, some people are lovable, like me. I'm very lovable. No, I'm really not. But people are lovable because, well, they're attractive, or they're talented, or they're intelligent, or there's something we like about that person, so it's easy to love. But other people are not lovable, are they? They're cantankerous, they're off-putting, they're irritating. But if they're part of the church, they're our brother and sister too, and we're to love them. In fact, if we can't love unlovable people, how much do we even know about the love of God? Some will say, well, you know, I love Jesus, I just don't love Christians. That's like saying, I'm an idiot, okay? Really, that's what that's like. Because how can you love God who you can't see when you don't love your brother who you can see? And actually, the Bible says the earmark of conversion is when you love your brothers. 1 John 3:14, we know we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. And anyone who does not love his brothers is passing to death. But this shows that prayer and worship go together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's our Father. But notice how I'm now to give praise to him. You know, if you have the luxury of time in your prayer, don't cut to the chase and go to your grocery list. Sometimes we approach God in prayer and it's, if I loosely paraphrase, it would look something like this. Hey God, how's it going? Good to see you. Hey, here's what I need today, amen. Or we would pray along these lines, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But the Lord's Prayer, the template for all prayer, the model prayer does not teach us to pray that way. It teaches us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means set apart. Glorified is your name. So just stop and contemplate the glory and the awesomeness of God. And I think if you do that, it will change the way that you pray. It will give you perspective. You'll see everything you're facing differently. When you pause to contemplate the greatness of God, you get perspective. See, because when you have a big God, you have relatively small problems. But if you have big problems, do you actually have a small God, or at least an improper view of him? When the 12 spies were sent into the promised land, 10 came back with a negative report. They said they felt like grasshoppers and the inhabitants were giants. And by the way, they were exaggerating everything. They were looking at their obstacles instead of their great God. Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies, saw the same things and came back with faith, and they said, let's go conquer the land. It's all how you look at things. And sometimes we can come to church and we're just overwhelmed by our problems. And we worship the Lord. And then we hear a message from God's word and we walk out and our problems are still there, but we see them differently because we've seen God in his power. That's why church is so important. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why praying together is so important. When we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It really becomes a game changer as you see things as you ought to see them from a proper perspective. So here's my point. The reason we start sinking in despair is we stop looking at our great God and instead we looked at stormy seas. And we need to realize he's in control. Remember your trainee. Remember what the word of God says. So as I pray, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm just taking my time to contemplate the awesomeness of God. Now look, if you're in an emergency situation, it's okay to cut to the chase. If you're out swimming and a great white is approaching and you know because you hear the theme music of Jaws playing, you don't have to ramp up to the, God help, that'll be fine. But if you have the luxury of time, contemplate the greatness and the glory of God. But listen, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, this access to God is only possible through Jesus Christ. And it's from relationship. How do I come into this relationship with God? Will being born in a Christian home help? Well, maybe, if you believe the message you learned there. But you can't live off somebody else's faith, you see. There has to be a moment in your life where you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin, and I turn from it. And Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, will come and live inside of you, and you can have this new relationship with God where you now call him Father, and you can know that your prayers are heard in heaven. Okay, so would you like your sin forgiven? I mean, think about this for a moment. Deep down inside, you feel a guilt. You know why you feel guilt? Because you're guilty. We all are. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came in a rescue operation to planet Earth, and he died on the cross for our sin. See, guilt is a symptom. Sin is the problem. So God comes and deals with the problem, and he forgives us of our sin, and then the guilt goes away. God can do that for you right now. No matter what you've done, you say, well, Greg, you don't realize what I've done. No, I don't realize what you've done, but I know what he's done. He died on the cross, and it was more than sufficient to cover all of your sin and all of mine and everybody else's too. If you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like your guilt removed, if you would like to know that you will go to heaven when you die, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And this is a prayer of asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. You see, being a Christian
isn't just believing there is a God. It's having God live inside of you. It's having Jesus coming into your life as Savior and Lord. In fact, Jesus says he stands at the door and he knocks, and if we'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. I'd love to lead you in a prayer where you would ask Jesus into your life. And if you pray this prayer and mean it, trust me, God will hear and answer this prayer. So if you want him to come into your life, pray this with me right now. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead 3 days later. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for coming into my life and forgiving me of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that Christ himself has come to live inside of you. And I want to say congratulations. Now we want to help you get started moving forward spiritually. I have a gift I want to send you at no charge. It's a Bible. Now, this is sort of a special Bible. It's called the Start Bible. It's designed for a person who has just made a commitment to Christ like you have. And it has a bunch of notes in it that I wrote. In fact, I worked on it for about 3 years. But it's designed to help a person who's never read the Bible before to understand it and how it works in their life. So I want to send you the Start Bible as a gift. And also, we want to talk to you. Now, there's a phone number on the screen right now. There's also a web address that you can go to and learn more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So thanks for watching our program. And until next time, God bless you.